Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
Welcome once again to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, we talk about one of my favorite parts of the movie-going experience, trailers. Can't get enough of them.
With some caveats, though. 20 minutes trailer's too much.
Well, I can't get enough of them, but sometimes there may be too much in them. So we're going to talk about trailers and how they maybe have changed a little bit over the years, what they add to the movie-going experience, and maybe what they can potentially take away. Our top five in this episode will be top five movie trailers that were actually better than the movie. And because movie trailers are something I love dearly, I'm actually going to be the one giving the top five this time. But before we get to all of that, Brian, tell us about a movie that you've seen recently that you haven't been able to talk to us about. You're up to probably right around 7,500 movies on your quest.
Yeah, right about 7,500. At this point, I'm averaging... I need to average like 2.63 for the next 850 days or so. So, I'm right where I want to be. Let's see what movie I can tell you about that doesn't make me sound ridiculously stupid. I did see Skull Island, Kong Skull Island, and it was pretty good. I mean, it was had a killer cast. I mean, it's got Brie Larson, John Goodman, Samuel L. Jackson, Corey Hawkins, who's in the reboot of 24, and seems to be an up-and-comer. John C. Reilly was fantastic. But at the end of the day, though, I'd say it was a middle-of-the-pack movie. I mean, it didn't really excite me, but it was good, but it wasn't great.
My understanding with that movie, too, is that they're gunning for some possible sequels.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make a monster universe. They're considering it to be in the same universe as the 2014 Godzilla remake. And so their plan is to have like King Kong versus Godzilla down the line.
So as a nod to our last episode, again, a remake, also a reboot sort of thing.
Another movie I saw recently that you will appreciate, because I've never seen it before, and I don't know how it slipped through, but Evan Almighty.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, you think it's going to be a turd on a stick. I mean, because it sounds like just a horrible idea.
It's like it's going to be really saccharine.
But it had a great cast, though. I mean, the cast was just fantastic. It was really good. I mean,
it was
Steve Carell at that peak where he couldn't do a miss at that point.
And we've talked about this before. Whenever you have a movie about
Except
fate,
for Smart, he could,
where you kind of get a little nervous as, you know, the theology, how deep is it going to be? And I felt like, just like in Bruce Almighty, even though I think it was a little bit, might have been different on the production side a little bit than Bruce Almighty. I thought the theological point he was trying to make was also pretty sound. And
yeah.
I really appreciated the way they did that. All right. Well, listeners, tell us what you think of those movies or any others you've seen recently by dropping us a line on Twitter at 10K, T-E-N-K. You're going to Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com, T-E-N-K-movies.com. And thank you again for downloading and sharing in this episode. We want you to be part of the conversation. And that conversation turns now to movie trailers. I think one of the reasons this
coming attraction
topic is on our minds is in recent days, weeks I guess now at the time of this recording and the time you are hearing this, is that two trailers dropped right around the end of March, beginning of April. The Justice League trailer, as well as Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Within a day of each other. And so it just sort of struck me that for these two big blockbusters coming up, that their trailers...
Well, Justice League
dropped,
is it the end of the year?
I know, but still, they were dropped online. They were kind of big events via social media and Twitter.
People are buzzing.
And it's sort of, you know, type of thing, we'll see those in the theaters likely, but more than likely, you and I and anybody probably listening to this podcast will will not be the first time they've seen
that
trailer.
The question to me is, do we still need trailers before the movie? Like, if you're going to see the trailer, now I know you have a soft spot for me. I'm saying the trailers we want to see, if it's a good trailer, we're going to see it outside of
right.
that theater experience. So save us that 20 minutes and get right to the movie.
Well, there might be some
those horrible like Coca-Cola commercials.
Well, see, that's
like,
what I'm afraid. If you get rid of the trailers, you're going to get more of those kind of
things.
We'll
find out what happened in the next phase, that took couple where he ruined her dress with the thing. And,
right.
Or the guy that's sitting next to those two women because his buddies were throwing popcorn in each other's mouth in the lobby, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
But I
know it by heart. But
what I always loved about trailers was sort of the surprise element and the way that it really could hook you in. I loved the voice in a world where, you know, the voiceovers and those sorts of things. But I remember you and I going to the movies, Brian. This might be my most memorable thought around trailers and that, is that we'd see a trailer, we'd look at each other, we'd either go thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
So I do think trailers are essential. Maybe their placement at the beginning, I hadn't thought about that. But trailers seem to me to still be an essential piece. What's intriguing to me is the way it seems that trailers, and perhaps overall PR behind movies, has evolved in recent years.
I do want to amend what I said, because I'd say that the big movies, like I saw the Spider-Man trailer, and I saw, although I don't necessarily watch a lot of trailers, even big ones, because I know I'm going to see the movie, but the every time I go to a theater, there are probably, say there are five trailers, which I feel like there's usually five to six. Out of those five, at least two were going to be in movies I didn't even know were coming out. Like, so the trailers do still tell me about them, because I'm like, oh, that movie's coming. So,
yeah. So what in your mind makes a trailer necessary, and what sort of makes it superfluous to the whole thing?
To the movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Do we really need a trailer for Star Wars Episode 8? Does anybody need that trailer? We're going to see that movie. It doesn't need the publicity. It's not like anybody's going to sit there and go, wait, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out? It's not going to happen.
Well, it strikes me, you're right on the one hand, but also it strikes me in the age we live in, like, that seems to be the currency of filmmaking industry is generating buzz, right? And Star Wars 8 obviously has a lot of buzz.
But
it's going to
have
a lot of buzz.
Star Wars is going to have the buzz. I mean, there's no way it's not going to be... There's no way it's not going to make close to $1 billion, no matter what.
Sure, I mean, but tell
if
me,
if
you
anything,
personally...
If anything, somebody, I mean, I want to see it, sure, but what's going to happen, I mean, it'll come out, and I'm assuming it'll come out around the 40th anniversary, so it'll come out sometime in May, and within a day, you will be able to find 100 different websites detailing every single shot in the movie with theories, conspiracy, and I will read a good number of them, but...
So, it seems you have a little bit of a personal... I don't know, challenge, impediment to trailers?
You know.
What's your deal with them?
No, I am, unlike most people I know, I kind of enjoy spoilers. I do. I mean, I like to kind of know, and I like to kind of see if you can figure it. And I also like that little guessing game where you try to, like, piece them. And, of course, you're way off. Because, you know, you go back and you think to, like, if you were a fan of the TV show Lost, when it was popular and people were trying to make theories and everybody had their all those were way off. Of course. Or when the sixth Harry Potter book came out and everybody's like, who is RGB or whatever, who that, you know, we were all trying to, like, and we were, of course, way off. Or when we guessed who the Half-Blood Prince was and it was like, no, it's so ridiculous when you think back on it. But,
I think that brings us into one of the things, particularly with the two trailers that I mentioned, Justice League and Spider-Man Homecoming. One of the criticisms I've heard of at least Spider-Man Homecoming, not as much Justice League, is that it gives too much of the plot away.
I don't know that it does.
And I think about some other trailers, for instance, one I saw, most recent movie that I went in the theater to see, Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
That whole franchise, every trailer it's done, has actually more or less been like the first scene of the movie.
Yeah.
Right? And so these trailers giving away a lot of plot points. Now, there's been some studies and things done that actually, I've heard on some other podcasts, that actually say, yeah, you're actually not in the minority there. That a lot of folks, in seeing spoilers, actually makes them more likely to go see them because they know what's going on. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, a complete surprise when stuff happens. I do see someone's point in a trailer that maybe reveals too much and doesn't leave enough of a surprise. And I think with the Spider-Man Homecoming one, the issue in that second trailer is it seems so very linear in yeah. its trailer, you know, that it sort of does seem to do
They had to do two things. They had to establish why and how Tony and Spider-Man, why is Tony Stark in Peter Parker's living room? Why? I mean, we get it in Captain America Civil War, although we don't get it 100%, you know, like how he knew about this guy. But to see it like this makes it a little, you know, so I'm okay with it. Man, it's not, you know, the best thing about the trailer is Michael Keaton as Vulture, but that's beside the point.
That's true. I love, you know, little snippets and things. I get excited when I see trailers. I mean, it does make me more excited. You know, you can't tell me you didn't get excited about Chewie and Han Solo.
Of course
in the last
I did. I mean, I teared up.
So, I mean,
we're
like,
home? I
like
mean,
yeah,
oh my
like,
gosh,
Star Wars
the
episode,
movie now.
Like, Star Wars Episode 7 didn't need the buzz, but that scene
was,
alone.
But in a way, though, that trailer transformed that part of the movie into a different experience. Because all of us, everybody in that theater knew that when the moment that Han came on to the Falcon, we know, okay, they're about to say it. So we all sort of know, and so it turned it into being anticipation. Still very good and very effective, but it just changed right. how we, and sometimes trailers do that. They change the way we watch the movie.
And it seems the effectiveness of them is how much it goes ahead and draws you into, gives you buy-in, creates suspicion of disbelief for whatever mm-hmm. is kind of going on. And doing that, it used to be, to me, you know, trailers were the main marketing tool, and trailers were before movies.
They still
and
are.
So it was
I mean,
it wasn't only a marketing tool, but it was a way to get people into the theaters.
But now you have a way of measuring how effective a trailer is, because when you can look and see how many times a trailer has been retweeted or shared on Facebook, that gives you a measuring stick to say this trailer hit, this trailer did not. Whereas before, the way in which you could judge its effectiveness was limited because you don't know how many people are coming out of it talking about it or whatever.
And it seems also that trailers in our current time feel a lot more calculated,
sure.
a lot more measured. I'm sure there was market research done on them, you know, back when we were growing up.
Well, I'm always curious.
Before that even, but it seems now you get your teaser trailer, trailer one, trailer two, you get your TV edit one, your TV edit two,
yeah.
and there's more of them. We've talked about this before, maybe because of YouTube and all these online sites, it makes things more accessible in general, and so it means you're going to have more of this stuff. But I think the trailers also work in connection with, you know, you'll have directors posting pictures on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
stills, where you'll have these sort of screenings and these reporters that come and talk about leaked footage. I mean, you were talking earlier about Jumanji, something that its first stills also dropped recently, and you read a report about it and you said, oh, you're much more excited now.
I am.
Because of this leaked
stuff. Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Jumanji when I was a kid. I mean, I for whatever reason, I didn't watch it when it came out. So I only watched it within the last 2 or 3 years, and it's okay. I mean, it would have been a lot more fun as a, you know, teenager or tween, whatever age it would have been, to have watched it then, because it would have, you know, been more exciting. But a lot of times I get excited about a movie based on what the kind of critical consensus sort of builds around a movie. So a lot of times my excitement level's here until I see, oh wait, it's good. Now I can get excited about it. You know?
Right. And for me, it really, really is all about, I mean, if you've got a good trailer, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'll probably go. For instance, one trailer that did that for me and I wouldn't have gone and seen this movie if I didn't like the trailer. What was it? The thing with Colin, is it Farrell or Firth. I always get them mixed up. The Kingsman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That Secret Kingsman. Agent
That's Colin
thing.
Firth.
Yeah, Colin Firth. Yeah. That trailer
and
was
he's back
fantastic.
For the sequel. Did you know that he died
in the
movie?
Back
the
but
he's
sequel.
Back for the sequel. They're not even shying away that he's on the. They're not even trying to like hide it. Bizarre.
I have no idea what that's going to be about. But yeah, but that was a trailer. I never would have gone to see that movie. But that trailer was so good. It makes me before and I know this going in. I was really like, you know, Justice League, maybe not. That second trailer.
It was good.
It was good. And I think, to me, better than the Spider-Man one, because even though it maybe kind of gave away some plot points.
Yeah, sure.
But again, it was non-linear. Like, one of the things I found myself doing with that Sure Struggle was this at the beginning? Where's this? Where's that? And it kind of got me interested in a lot of the movie parts. The most effective part, I think, of that trailer, one single shot of Amy Adams, Lois Lane. No other place was Henry Cavill that Superman. We know Henry Cavill is one of the, is going to be in that film.
Yeah.
I can tell you now, that's a primary plot point, climactic part of the film is going to be Superman flying in to save when all hope seems lost.
Sure.
But the trailer didn't reveal that, but just that one sort of beat of anticipation. To me, that got me so much more excited for that film than I was.
How involved do you think like the director of a film is in the trailer? Do you think it's all the marketing department?
I don't
or
know.
The director himself.
That's a great question. I would think that some directors would want to have a hand in that. It strikes me that someone like a Zack Snyder or a Joss Whedon probably does.
Okay, but when you're on one of these,
I just don't know.
When you're on a big, huge tentpole movie. And you got a huge firm deadline for a movie that costs $600 million. I don't know how much time you have to worry about a 30-second TV spot. You know what I'm saying? Because I get the feeling that once that movie wraps, that's when your work starts.
Right.
And it is a marathon to get
this
movie
done. And that's probably your point is probably made by take the Rogue One trailer, for instance.
Which
and
I don't think Garrett. I don't think he was involved in the movie, much less the trailer.
It's coming out on DVD, Blu-ray now, and so there's a lot of behind the scenes. This is why we chose this, why we chose to do that, and there's a lot of parts in that trailer that weren't actually in the movie. That's another part of trailers. Sometimes what you see in the trailer you don't always get because reshoots are done.
You can only do
or
that
an old
when
shot.
You have been afforded extra footage.
Well, sure, or you had something that just got cut because the final cut of the movie wasn't put together yet. So I would imagine there's some communication back and forth, but I think ultimately it's the film's the thing, not the trailer. There are some movies that probably were much better than the trailer. They had some movies.
But we won't remember that. But when the movie's worse than the trailer, we will certainly remember that.
Well, that's true, and that gets us probably is a good time to get into our top five. Now, again, I like the trailers the most, so this is going to be my top five, doing it a little bit different than we have in the past. Top five movie trailers that were so much better than the film that followed them.
I think I know what one of them's going
to
be.
Well, first I need to mention an honorable mention. Okay. This, for whatever reason, I was thinking about this topic. I was trying to remember, what's the first movie trailer you saw that you really remembered, or the earliest one that I remembered? And it was actually a Tom Berenger, Sidney Poitier. I don't know why I remember this movie.
Are you a
late
big '80s?
No, late '80s movie, Shoot to Kill.
Okay.
Sidney Poitier is this guy. He's tracking this serial killer. Tom Berenger is this mountain guide. Sidney Poitier finds out that one of the guys in his that he's taken hiking on the mountain is the killer. I just remember like the music, the beat. I was like, oh, this movie looks great. Oh, I was too young to see it. It was like rated R, maybe PG-13. I saw it later when I was in college.
And it was not very good.
Well, there's a certain point, and then there's the big reveal of the bad guy, which looking at it now, I was like, oh, it's Clancy Brown, because Clancy Brown's got to be the bad guy, because that's who Clancy Brown is.
He is.
In that movie, spoiler alert. If you have not seen Shoot to Kill yet.
I don't think
But then, like, at that point, like, they end up, like, the movie ends not, I can't remember where it does, but not them on the mountain.
Okay.
So it just, it kind of, there's a third setting that never, yeah, just, it wasn't as good as I thought it was. It was still a fun, you know, harmless movie to watch. But I gotta give a shout out to Shoot to Kill. So, but my top five proper, for this, let me get my list here in front of me. First is a movie who, a sequel, who the previous movie in this series, this trailer was very good. Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, very good trailer. Invoked some Star Wars kind of mystery, mm-hmm. all that sort of thing. Goldmember, also a good trailer. It's also like Austin Powers. Oh, this is gonna be great.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good. And that movie was just. It was not really great. And that really started Austin Powers' long, dreadful fall. I think the next movie he did was The Love Guru, and the less said about that, the better. So number five, Austin Powers, Goldmember, good trailer. Not so good of a movie. Number four I have is Where the Wild Things Are. I remember this trailer coming out and the music, the just kind of, it looked really pretty and beautiful. It looked kind of visually interesting in a lot of ways. But then actually sitting through that movie, I wanted to jam something in my eye.
You hated it?
It was just boring as heck. And it ended up being, I mean, the visuals were fantastic, but I just, to me, it didn't have the sense of wonder and imagination the trailer kind
sure.
of condensed.
On what day of shooting do you think they turned to themselves and said, maybe it was not good idea to adapt a 15-page book into an hour-and-a-half-long movie.
Well, and even more. Like, I don't know. It was just... It felt like it was 3.5 hours.
I mean, at some point, that was the main problem. What did we decide to do here?
Trailer was great, all that sort of thing. Just... And then kind of too dark, too light. I don't know. It just didn't work. Okay, so number three would be, again, when I saw this trailer, I was like, finally, yes. Oh, this is great. I laughed. I watched it on YouTube a bunch of times. Anchorman 2.
Okay.
Now, Anchorman 2, I think, is a classic example of, you see really the funniest parts of the movie.
Now, we saw this movie together.
Funniest parts of the movie in the trailer. The movie was not as good as Anchorman, and definitely not... I mean, if you're laughing all the way through the trailer, and then the movie, you're like, what is this?
There were some funny scenes.
And there were still some funny scenes, but it was like, sort of a stretch. That one was, to me, I was let down by the movie more than I thought I would be based on the trailer. And probably also let down just based on my love of Anchorman. Now, number two. And this is why I'm also a little bit, actually, even after loving the trailer, I am still cautious about Justice League. Because Man of Steel, Superman, that had a really great trailer.
Fantastic
to it.
Trailer. One of the best.
Kevin Costner,
gave you goosebumps.
It was amazing.
Yeah, the sun, kind of like the lens flare, the sun rising, and it's like,
and
it was so.
And the problem
so
was
good.
That Zack Snyder, though, was directing.
See, I'm not going to pile on the Zack Snyder's hate. I think he's a competent director. I don't think he knows how to tell a story.
Well, and I think it's a classic case of, you know, the trailer that was produced told a really compelling, at least, snippet of a story.
Yeah.
But somehow that didn't translate
well, the Zod
fully
stuff really
into,
screwed him up and...
into the whole movie. And it just, again, I don't hate Man of Steel like some people hate Man of Steel. I actually wouldn't say I hate it at all. But it was not the home run that I was expecting based
on... It's not the Dark Knight. Or...
Based on the earliest view we got of it. And then lastly, and this one, I'll be honest, even if it was a great movie, it probably still couldn't have lived up to all the hype and anticipation. So this may not be, I don't know, a very deserved number one for me, but it's number one still all the same, and that's The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
That's The Phantom Menace.
Like back when we still believed George Lucas was...
Right, right. And we were just lost, Star Wars, and we love it, and it's just going to be great. And which is a testament, again, to how we were also hook, like, and sinker bought into J.J. Abrams for episode seven,
which is a great movie,
which is really good, and he delivered on the promise that was in the trailer, but The Phantom Menace, like I said, it could probably never live up to the hype.
No,
it was never going to be able to do that.
Not enough midichlorians in the world.
But it could have been much less of a crap movie. In my mind, and being so excited when you saw it, and then being like,
the problem with the prequels and the problem is true of any movie that tries to go back, it is very difficult to tell a story and make it interesting when we already know how it ends.
Yeah, that's true. So and sometimes trailers give us a good idea of how it may end, and the best ones still make us want to go see the movie. So thank you, listeners, for indulging me. You may... and probably don't like trailers as much as I do, and that's okay, but I appreciate your listening to my ramblings about them mainly, and Brian's dubious take on their necessity. No. So we hope that you, again, let us know what you think by following us on Twitter at 10kmovies, follow Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Thank you for being part of this quest for 10,000, and we'll catch you next time. We hope that your week, though, is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.